You can look at that sermon insert, the half-page insert. We speak together for the second Wednesday in Lent, the words in bold. Thy kingdom come. What does this mean? The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may come to us also. How does God's kingdom come? God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. And I reread the one verse, verse 20 from Luke 6. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you want to fill in the blanks, number one, God's kingdom is not human power, wisdom, or influenced by politics or money. God's kingdom is not human power, wisdom, influenced by power, politics, or money. These efforts or resources can be used by God, but they do not forgive sins, put faith in hearts, or get a person into heaven. You heard both the blesseds and the woes that Jesus spoke in this sermon on the plain. And these blessedness sayings, teachings, and the woe sayings don't line up with our natural thinking in the world. They're different. When Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God," from a human worldly way of thinking, we think, well, the kingdom of God should have plenty, should have wealth, wouldn't it? But Jesus doesn't equate that thing to that thing. One might be poor now and yet have the kingdom of God. One might be hungry now and yet have satisfaction that God will give. One might be weeping now and crying now, and yet God will give laughter. There's a difference in the way the kingdom of God works and the way the kingdoms of this world work. So also in the later verses with those woes, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation." We would say, no, I'm rich. Why was there woe to me in a worldly way of thinking? But Jesus is saying, those who are rich, they're already consoled. They're not looking for other consolation. They don't think they need other consolation. Those of you who think you are rich, there's actually, you're not in a good situation if you think you're rich. "Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep." Whoever would think that their situation is okay and is not needing God, is not needing Christ, that is not a good situation. You think you're okay by yourself, but you're not. There's a key here in these blessed sayings and these woe sayings. At that beginning of verse 20, that first line, Jesus said, "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples." On his disciples. There was this crowd that he was preaching to on the plain. Many of his disciples, a great crowd of his disciples, he says, and also a great multitude of people from a variety of places. But he's really getting his disciples to understand what this kingdom of God that he's been preaching about and will preach about more is like. It's not like the kingdoms of this world. Point two there, God's kingdom is described and empowered by His word. God's kingdom is described and empowered by His word. And the first point I made, or we made the idea, had the idea that it's not human power or human wealth or human influence that's going to bring God's kingdom. It's God's kingdom. It's not our kingdom. We don't know how to bring God's kingdom. It's His. And Luther, in his second, in the explanation of the second petition, which we spoke out loud just at the very beginning, Luther makes a note of this when he says, the kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer. God is going to do what He wants to do. It's not our wealth, it's not our efforts, it's not us who brings that kingdom into play. It's God. It's going to happen. And Luther points out at the rest of that sentence, but we pray in this petition it comes to us also. So it's not human efforts, it's God's effort. It's not human wisdom, it's God's wisdom. And so when we were praying for it to come, we're saying, okay, can I be in it too? Can I be a disciple too of Jesus? Thy kingdom come, and you can in your mind, to me. May it come to me. May I be in it. When we have the Bible, there is a temptation and an unbelieving thought that it's just like a regular book that we might have on the shelf, a novel or something like that, made up stories, and it's kind of a thing there, just like our other possessions that we might own. But we would miss what's really going on if that's our thinking. When it is in God's Word, when God's Word comes to us in the Bible, it empowers us. When Jesus teaches us these words, as written in the bulletin, they are changing us, and they have the power to change us. So God's kingdom is not only kind of described in the Bible, what it was like in the Old Testament times and what Jesus did and what the apostles did after Jesus went back into heaven. It only describes it. It does do that. But it brings the power into our own lives. It brings the power into our own lives. And so when we read these words from the Sermon on the Plain, this is Jesus talking and teaching us. And Luther points this out. We're asking God not only to have that I would be in His kingdom, but that I would be in His word. That last point, to live our lives according to His word means to have His word active in our lives. To live our lives according to His word means to have His word active in our lives. That seems simple, but it's very deep. It's very spiritual. It's very moving and enabling. When we see these words about Jesus, about what His kingdom is like, being blessed, and what it is not like, the woes, what is His kingdom like? These words affect you and me in our lives. And we might say, this has not been a good day or a good month or a good week or a good year. And I feel very poor, and where is God? And things are really wretched. And when these words from Jesus hit us, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Those words challenge our own thinking. Now, Jesus, these blessed statements that you made, They're not great. It sounds like they're not great. You're poor. You're hungry. You're weeping now. But Jesus says, but you're in my kingdom. And you're blessed. And that challenges you and me in our lives and in our thinking. That these words of Jesus are active in our lives is very closely connected to his name. Very closely connected to his name. In verses 22 and 23, blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Now, not just because maybe you're a rascal and they don't like you because you do bad things continuously and you're not very, that's not what it means. What it means is that for following Jesus, we're blessed if people reject us. If we follow Jesus Christ and have his name on our lives and our actions and our words and our lips, and yet people reject that, he says, you're blessed. It's connected to his name. It's connected to his name. He continues there, rejoice in that day, and maybe that jumped out at you, so to speak. Leap for joy. Leap for joy. When the disciples oftentimes were in Acts, when they were persecuted for the name of Jesus, it says they rejoiced. How can that be? Because the person, the disciple, was seen to be connected to Jesus. And the unbeliever was saying, I don't like the name of Jesus, and you like the name of Jesus, and you believe in the name of Jesus, and you follow Jesus, and I don't like you. And Jesus says, when that happens, leap for joy. For you are connected to the name of Jesus. And then he says, continuing that same sentence, verse 23, your reward is great in heaven. There's the kingdom of heaven again. Your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. The rewards are not what the world looks for or what we might look for in this life. Not the wealth, not the consolation, not the fame. That's not the rewards. The reward is to be blessed in the kingdom of heaven because we're connected to Jesus Christ and connected to his name. When we pray, thy kingdom come, we're asking Jesus, I want to follow you too. I need your kingdom in my life. I need to know your teachings. I need to know about your name and how to bear it. This is not something that comes easily or of our own power. Luther said in the part of that explanation, God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings this to us. And there's another thing to leap for joy is, in fact, when people recognize that we're a Christian, that's the Holy Spirit working in us to bear witness to Christ. And that is a good and blessed thing. So God's word in our lives is Jesus active in our lives, teaching us, leading us, changing our minds to be like him and his thinking? And in that activity, his kingdom is in our lives. And no matter what our condition may be, Jesus says, you're blessed. You are my disciple. You're blessed. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for teaching us your prayer. And you taught over and over again what your kingdom is like. And we get confused, or just plain sinful, or misled, and we don't understand. But we ask you to keep teaching us, keep leading us, keep us to want your kingdom, and not the kingdoms of this world, but to want your kingdom, and to be connected to your name, so that even if people would reject us because of your name, we won't fall away, because we are in your kingdom and we are your disciples. All these things, Jesus Christ, we pray to you, long with to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with verses 3 through 5 of Rise My Soul to Watch and Pray on the back of the bulletin.